Folks, welcome back to Being with the Brew Crew. It has been a very long friendcation. I am your host, the man from Moss River, with my co-host, Mr. Byron Moss, and without further delay, Mr. K. Rob.
Hey, look at you being all just, you know, regular with me. How nice of you. What's up, fellas?
No nonsense today, man. It's been a hot minute.
No frills, no bullshit. No, we're back at it. How's everybody been? How's life?
It's going good. Well, can't really complain.
Filthy all the time.
Filthy all the time. I work at Walmart, so yeah, filthy all the time too. Actually, you know, this was the first week I got a new pair of shoes, and I have not taken any ibuprofen or anything for my back in 3 days.
I am honestly, this is at the point of my adulthood. I am looking forward to having work uniforms. That is what I'm looking forward to.
Getting tired of wearing just jeans and stuff?
No, I'm tired of messing my own shit up and having to clean it. I want somebody else to clean it. I want somebody else to mend my things.
What's that like? I don't understand that. What's this manual labor you talk about?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Dainty Hands over there.
If that guy over there, the frail, pale one, if he could look in his phone, I sent him a picture of my office and my desk.
You know what? Monday, I'll send you a picture of my desk and what I do.
Hey, ain't nobody knocking anything here. That's not what we do.
I would love to, Byron, I'd love to take you to my job one time with me.
I'm just going to go, yep, you have fun with that.
You don't want to jump in the giant machines with me? You don't want to work
with
me?
Fuck no!
You don't want to lift 50,000 pounds above different people?
No, thank you. I enjoy sitting at my desk, looking at monitors all day. It's great.
Monotonous, but I'm sure.
I'm actually happy for once in my job, y'all. I enjoy my job, truthfully.
But you know what? What I love about my job is when I'm slow, I can look up articles and whatnot for our lovely fans and find out some fun information.
Let you guys know, it's been a while. Life has gotten in the way. We're looking at some schedule restructuring coming up with our jobs soon, particularly with Jared, that will open us back up to producing more content more frequently and getting episodes back out for you guys. So we do apologize. Life just gets in the way, and you know how it is, if you will.
Yep.
Taking on new roles in the job I'm at right now, that's been the big thing. I'm finally getting the training wheels off and going back to my own little area.
Yeah, and understandable. So you know, when we're all able to get together, we can deliver like we do. But the best thing about the time off there is a silver lining. So much shit has happened, y'all.
There has been a plethora of so many things that have come up. We got to talk about, you know, success of certain movies that have just came out that we'll address later. We also got to talk about the world of wrestling and the craziness that's happened there in both areas of the world, in WWE and AEW. But also we got to discuss just the general structure of all things that are nerdy, gentlemen. Do we not?
There's so much shit happening. So much.
Kyle, right. You are the director, the conductor. You are also the driver of this train. I would like for you to start.
Let's do this. I'm excited.
All right. So, yesterday I sat down I sat down and I said, all right, it's time. I'm watching the Power Rangers 30 years, once and forever. Why did this freaking movie jump?
The hour long episode?
That's a special, Byron.
It's our own.
No,
special,
look at it like a three-part special, like the mutiny in Mighty Morphin. Think of it like that. 3 20-minute episodes. Look at it like that.
No, that ain't even like that, brother. It's 45 minutes, so it'd be a two-parter.
It was fifty-five minutes, sir.
Are we sure it's 55 minutes?
I distinctly remember.
I don't want to argue that. Hold on, I'm gonna argue this.
Yes, argue it. Argue it so you can be wrong, Jared. Argue it so you can be wrong.
And we have Byron, you're used to being wrong all the fucking time. Just deal with it.
I am.
Hey,
not.
No, I wanted to be wrong.
No. I'll eat crow. It is 55 minutes.
Dude, I'm 2 for 2 today. Not only were you wrong, one of my very close lady friends let me admit to being right about something. All right, I'm 2 for 2. Okay.
You better put that in the book.
Hey,
I know.
The other one.
I'm going to throw me a party.
Hey, no party to hit the hat trick.
I do need another one. Hey, there's plenty of time. It's 2:31 in the afternoon right now. I got plenty of time. Point being, why did this have to immediately hit you hard in the feels?
Here's the thing.
I knew it was coming, but I was not ready.
But here's the thing. You have to address at least one, the main point of the story. That was the driving device of all of it. But you also had to explain the absence of one of the key Rangers that has been absent for a lot of years, obviously because Tweed died in a car wreck at that point in time. You were not able to really expand her story. It pretty much ended for her at the youth conference.
I know, but it's just bringing all of that back and tying in. And this was the immediate point you realized, okay, they're not treating Power Rangers as completely hokey anymore, because they used the K word. They straight up said, "She killed my mom." Like, they went there from the jump to let you know, hey, this is a different tone.
They're taking more of the comic book feel to it as opposed to like the traditional TV side of it.
Agree.
They are, which, I mean, the Boom Studio comics are fantastic. Shout out to them. They produce some great stuff. Also, the Ninja Turtles crossover with Power Rangers, and, of course, one of my favorites, Justice League crosses Power Rangers.
Yeah. Seeing Robo Rita, honestly, you know what it felt like? I needed a bowl of cereal and to be in my pajamas watching this, because it felt like a Friday afternoon after school. And you're watching what is the beginning of like a 3-part or 5-part, you know, epic mini series of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That's what this felt like.
Let's talk about the ending here. Let's talk about that one segment from the second season of Power Rangers, that song for Tommy, Down the Road, hits so much differently now than it ever did.
Oh,
yeah.
Stop it. That's
they knew exactly what they were doing, but man.
That's another thing that makes this like so hard is like, JDF, may he rest in peace, like, he was such a big part of Power Rangers, and like, him not actually being in it is so hard.
Dude, it made it really difficult with the talking points, and they really tried to avert from talking about it too much. It was hard for Catherine, obviously, because in that universe, she's married to Tommy. You know, yep. He didn't end up with Kimberly. And, you know, they have a son, JJ. She's like, hey, you called me while I was at a junior karate camp with JJ. And then she's like, well, I would hate for him to, you know that his father was kidnapped. And then they're like, well, Kat, you got to be taking this the hardest. And she's like, yes, my husband, you know, Tommy. And, you know, just talking about it, you could tell it was just so hard for them to acknowledge that, you know, that, yes, this character is still alive in that universe, but the actor is dead.
Yep.
And that you're trying to tap dance around the biggest elephant in the room there. I can't imagine how tough that was for everybody.
You know, the funny thing is, the only person they did not use voiceover for was Austin St. John. Obviously, Amy Jo Johnson. They did not want to pay that guy. And obviously, his legal troubles right now. They did not want to pay that guy. Bottom line.
Yep.
You know, all in all, what did you think? How did it make you feel?
It hit hard. It really did. But personally to me, there is only one Power Ranger special to rule them all for me. And you gentlemen should know which one that is.
Forever Red.
Forever Red.
Bottom line. That is badass. That is the one thing there. That is the benchmark. Nothing has surpassed that for me. You will never get that hype where you have, obviously, the original OG Red Ranger mixing it up with the OG freaking Zeo Ranger, Red Zeo Ranger 5.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in that estimation. It was great to see, Johnny Young Bosch and to reprise his role as Adam. And I loved also Steve Cardenas kind of being, you know, brought in, I guess, like he's like a regular Joe construction worker.
Well, dude, he was a firefighter. That was the whole thing. He was like, guys, just got off of a long shift and I'm trying to eat my Chinese.
That was honestly funny. How about the little Easter egg that Bulk and Skull now own their own like sandwich shop or some shit?
Yes. I enjoyed that. The little nuances in that film earn that special. We're just phenomenal. The little Easter eggs that we got, the little kisses here and there. I enjoyed it.
Seeing the youth center though got me really emotional, and not seeing Ernie behind that counter. Gosh.
That's the thing there, missing Ernie. That was a nice tribute to him. Really, the only thing I had an issue with the episode was, and I mean, this is probably me just bitching, it just didn't feel like they should have gave that more time. 55 minutes was just not enough.
It's not enough.
It's
unless you're going to do more.
To really encapsulate and capture everything, it needs to be longer. Like, it needs to kind of be its own thing.
Like, here's my thing. If you can have a Yellowstone special that's an hour and a half on regular broadcast television, you can have an hour and a half Power Ranger special.
I agree.
Yeah, no reason, especially because you've got 30 years of lore. There's, I mean, virtually no excuse.
Wasn't the like 25th anniversary special where they brought back a bunch of the old Rangers? Like, wasn't that better on the extended cut as opposed to the air?
Here's the thing. So you had the 20th anniversary is what you're talking about, okay, where they had the additional little scenes where they had Tommy appear, save the child with Saba. You had obviously Leo from Power Rangers Lost Galaxy. You had Carone that appeared. They had to extend that out. They added additional scenes, and there was an extended cut for that. That was an hour and 15 minutes. The 25th special, you had Tommy and his Master Morpher, and you had where different Rangers got caught, and you got to see Jason David Frank acknowledge that, oh, hey, I'm coming to save my wife, Kat. And, you know, he was going home to his son, JJ, when they got attacked.
Yeah. Just like, it's just, I definitely agree. Like, they definitely, I'm wondering if they might have extra scenes they didn't do or put in there. Maybe we'll see an extended cut of that.
Here's my question.
Not opposed.
Here's my question to y'all. What do we do at the 35th? What do we do for the 40th?
I don't know.
Keep in mind, it's
best not to guess.
Well, here's the thing. You've already introduced this new character. You've already brought in Trini's daughter. What do you do next? You obviously acknowledge the fact that...
Maybe, from a villain's perspective, you can revive Master Vile.
Well, like we were talking about earlier, Master Vile would be a prime candidate. Or like I said, this would be vengeance on Tommy. This would be a good way to finish his story, to write him out. Bring back King Mondo from the Machine Empire.
Absolutely agree there.
Something they could do is they could end up doing a legacy thing of do a series, kind of like bring back the original like Morphers, but with descendants of the original team.
Well, that's another thought, because technically they just talked about how that Trini's daughter just is carrying on the mantle of the Sabertooth Tiger. Fast forward 10 years, we got JJ at Junior Karate Camp. He's a teenager with attitude at this point in time. Put the mantle of the Green Ranger on him, or better yet, he picks up his father's Master Morpher.
That would be badass. Online.
There's so much.
I'm sold on that idea. Now, there was one aspect of the story that really struck out to me that immediately made me say, oh, they got to do more, where Billy was trying, and also shout out, they turned the command center into his own hidden sector of his company. How fucking cool is that?
Well, the command center is below his company, if you look at that, because you got to think the command center has been blown up three times. Three times. If we're talking about the command center was blown up, the power chamber was blown up and attacked twice, mind you, once by the Machine Empire and then once again by fucking Divatox.
Do we count the Power Ranger movie?
Okay, we'll go with it. We'll count that. So the command center was blown up twice if you count the candidacy of the movie.
Yeah, because if you're gonna go that far, let's get Ivanhoe's and the lean he was selling kids. I don't care what anyone says, that was purple lean that motherfucker was selling. But Billy was trying to revive and bring Zordon back together, despite the fact that he sacrificed himself to wipe out all evil and Power Rangers in space. But off of the theory that the Rita could be brought back in robot form, so therefore, if evil can return, so can good. Them trying to do that justifies another special.
Well, here's the thing. So the Z Force was what they brought back from that. They said once the time, well, obviously, once Zordon's time chamber was shattered, the Z Force escaped. You know, the one person we didn't have in that that would have been a perfect bring back, Christopher Kamen. You wish no. Red Space Ranger, Andros. Because he was the one that shattered Zordon's time tube.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So
and
the
that
one
would have been go ahead.
No, so the one who shattered it should be the one who should be able to rewrite that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that would be great because you gotta think they were in space at different times. And you know, I love the fact that they were teasing, well, Billy, when are you going to go back to Aquitar? You know, talking about the Aqua Rangers, talking about different things there. He's like, you know, now you can continue your research. And he's like, well, it's definitely overdue for me to take some time and go away. And there, here's the only thing that eliminates Lord Zedd's return. We've already had the return of Lord Zedd. We've also had the return of his, we've had his son appear. We've had different other things. Like Goldar appeared, obviously, in Beast Morphers. We've had so many older characters return. They kind of hurt themselves in the main storyline there. Because you can't just bring them back again. You're going to have to pick somebody.
Yeah, it's just fan service. Everything has to make sense. You can't just throw them all in there. But at the end of the day, I greatly enjoyed this. Yeah, all the nostalgia, all the feelings and the longing of missing, you know, Tui and JDF. It's tough. Also, a huge credit to the young lady who played Trini's daughter, Min. I thought she was absolutely awesome. To borrow it from the name of one of the early episodes, she was very gung-ho, wanting to get revenge for her mother. And the healing that her and Billy wound up having to gain together was very important in order for her character to move forward and for him to finally get some solace, because mm-hmm. he had been living with, you know, the idea, and of course this young lady who just lost her mother blames him, and he eventually believed it.
Can we talk about the fact that Zach was a congressman?
Yeah, that threw me off for a second. I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. Hip Hop Keto went to Congress. Like, am I tripping? That's
he dropped so it. Dope. He dropped it on the floor. No wonder there was so much structure in that universe.
You ain't gonna mess with the dude that could outdance you and kick your ass at the same time.
Yep.
You're not going to do that. And he did it with a 1990s box fade back in the day. So you can't say anything to him because he's not worried about how he looks. I thought it's a very enjoyable, you know, experience. Like I said, I legit felt like I needed to be in my pajamas with a bowl of cereal for like a sad AM, you know, cartoons. Check it out, everybody. Power Rangers 30th Anniversary Once and Forever. It is on Netflix right now. Byron, I got something I want to throw at you because we talked about it, and it came from a video you sent us in Facebook, and it brought up the question, why do we not have an RPG-style open world, create your own Ranger, Power Rangers game? And I'm like, and the more I watched that video, I thought about it, I'm like, dude, why don't we have that? And it started to bother me legit. So I want to hear from you. And Jared, I want to hear from you because I think, why don't we have this?
You have a tabletop game already for that, though.
But how many people know who cares? Game?
Who cares about the tabletop game? I'm talking about, why do we not have a video game where you get to create your own Ranger, interact with other Rangers throughout all Power Ranger history, and like go collect items, whatnot, to upgrade your suit, get better more power, to collect legacy weapons and stuff like this? Why?
Doesn't that sound awesome?
It does indeed sound awesome. I'm all on board with that. I'm just saying we do have the RPG out there for people for the tabletop game, if people don't know that.
All right. You can actually
buy different series of Rangers, and then you have your base board that has like Angel Grove, Command Center, different things like that.
I get that, but it's still like, just imagine traveling to like Angel Grove, Bayview, going on Terra Venture. Like, imagine going to all these different places as your own Ranger.
I'm trying to think of where else they were at.
With Briarwood.
Briarwood would be an interesting one to go to. Let's Turtle Cove.
Like, there's so many places like you could go, and it's like, why? Like, this game would literally sell itself as long as it's done well. I don't care. Like, the graphics could be dog shit for all I care. As long as the story's good, gameplay's fluid and solid, like, imagine, like, being able to pick different kind of martial arts styles you want. Like, imagine you could create your own character and have hip-hop keto as your fighting style.
I mean, somebody needs to get out there and do that. Awesome. I mean, I love Power Rangers as a beat-em-up. I love, obviously, Battle for the Grid. It could have been better, but I still enjoy it. But there is a calling for that. It would be very, you know, kind of build it to the structure of Knights of the Old Republic. I would be fine with that.
No, I would not say Knights of the Old Republic. I would look more fine.
I'm talking more of the creation system for KOTAR, like just the base of what you start out with.
I'm thinking more along the lines of maybe closer to the lines of maybe Skyrim or...
No, that's...
You want it very much like an RPG.
Yes.
Well, make it streamlined. The problem with Skyrim's, I enjoyed the detail of it, but it can be a little bit monotonous and hard to approach with some new characters. You want to make it easily approachable.
I mean, the thing with Skyrim doing it that way is it opens up to where your character can, it's, you're not tied into, you have to be pigeonholed to this. You can adapt your character throughout.
Well, what about even doing it to the semi-structure of Diablo? 2 or 3 would be even fine.
Still, that's pigeonhole. I'd rather have be able to adapt my character however I want to, switch it up, my gameplay style however I want to.
Dude, what about God of War? The way they structure their fighting system, and you can branch out.
I mean,
out.
The fighting system wise, like, I don't care. Like, if it's, I'd be fine with the fighting system like that, or a fighting system like Final Fantasy 15. Something that's like,
would be fantastic.
Like it's fluid. And like his options about what you can do.
Or Dragon Age. Dragon Age had a really good system for base.
Dragon Age, which one?
Age of Inquisition probably would be the more refined one out of the bunch.
I'd still much rather have something more along the lines of fighting, like flow wise, it being more like Final Fantasy 15. Personally,
Final Fantasy 15 would be fine, or the bubble system from 10 would be optimal because then you could grid into other categories.
Yeah. But I'm talking like combats wise, like in a sense of, I don't want to sit there and be like, I love Knights of the Republic, but I don't want it to be like, I click this, it does a basic attack. I click this ability, it queues it up. I don't want a queue up of attacks.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the creation of the character. That's what I was more gearing towards.
As long as it gives you a chance to like adapt your character and not be pigeonholed, I'm fine with that because there's so much you can do as your ranger. Like, again, you could be more like a straight up brawler kind of thing. You'd be a more technical fighter, but like something that is not pigeonhole, something that's vast.
Okay. That would be fair. I would be okay with that. But I would prefer that instead of giving your ranger form, the variance of like, okay, are you a base brawler or whatever? Give that to the human you select.
Yeah, I mean that's fine with that.
Yeah, because there will be instances just like on the TV show and the films where you do have to fight in your human form.
I would really like something to encompass all martial arts. Give me a boxer in there. Give me something else besides just, you know, basic Taekwondo or karate.
That's what I'm saying. It's like imagine having the capability to like, oh, I want to my character had the option of learning hip hop keto. I can now fight using hip hop keto.
There you go. I mean, like, I would be okay with that.
Just something like that.
That wouldn't be terrible. I would be okay with that in the range.
And like, again, like I said, you could kind of have it like Skyrim to a point of like, you can pick which tree you want to go down. Or also they could do it kind of like they're doing Star Wars Jedi Survivor, where it's you put points into which fighting style you want to go with.
Well, at that point, folks, whose tit do we got to twist at fucking Nickelodeon to get this to do?
Right.
I mean, that's a sad reality that two of our childhood landmarks are literally owned by Nickelodeon.
All I'm going to say is keep it away from any of the big AAA developers. Keep it away.
Yeah, because that turns into is a cash grab and a come up for them.
Well, here's my thing. You remember that Nick All-Star Brawl?
Yeah.
They just recently came out with not too long ago that had obviously like Ninja Turtles on there and they had some Power Ranger characters on there.
Yeah, dude.
I am not familiar.
It was failed. That came out the same time as like Smash Bros. It kind of was.
So it's kind of failing like the multiverse is.
Exactly, because you could play as Helga, you could play as Rocco. There was different Nickelodeon characters you could play as, and it was just kind of like, why?
Because there's thing, everybody wants to be like Smash Bros.
Smash.
And you just, I'm sorry, it's, you can get close, but you're never going to, it's, that was a lightning in a bottle.
Oh, caught.
Yeah, it's just, you're not going to get that. You might get close to like have some of that, but it's just, that was something that was so groundbreakingly different. Like, doing something like that again, it's just like,
it broke the mold. It broke the mold for everything you thought fighting, like, fighting game should be.
Look at the console came out at the time. Look at all the different things. Like, the N64 really pushed the envelope for diversity in games.
Yep, and that's why, like, and essentially any Smash Bros. Game out there holds value. It's because there's not really a bad Smash Bros. Game.
No, there isn't, they've all aged like fine wine.
Well, dude, we got our first story mode in Brawl, but in Melee. You got to play and unlock characters that way. Then you got a continuation in Brawl, and then the newest one, you had the map where you could go through and play a kind of pseudo story. They have a winning formula. They have the characters. They have the technology.
Yeah, you can copy it, but it's never going to be it.
We can rebuild them. We have the technology. Like,
I don't know who up there we have to talk to, but like, this is a idea that will literally print you money. You put it out there, I guarantee you, our generation will buy it up.
And also, Power Rangers is timeless.
I would not be opposed to Square spearheading this, or even Sony.
I feel better with Square.
Sony does not need to touch this.
Okay, let's talk about this. Here's my backing point. They have hit gold with the God of War series.
I don't give two shits.
Actually, how about Namco?
You're digging into a territory you don't want to go to right now. Because if Sony gets their hands on this, it's going to be Sony exclusive.
I'm not going to say that.
You goddamn Xbox fanboy, stop it.
No, I'm not even going to say that. Dude, MLB The Show's cross-platform now.
One game out of, like, here's the thing. One game out Final of Fantasy. How many? But yeah, how many years it take? How many years did it take for Final Fantasy to actually come to Xbox?
Good point.
Anything else?
Exclusive, yes.
And I'm sorry, this needs to be done in a way that hits all platforms. It doesn't need to be.
Here's the problem, Byron. Here's the problem. Okay, if you go outside of like. I can trust Sony for the fact that it would be well done, but it's going to be exclusively made for a certain console. I have no problem with that because I'm going to know it's going to get a top quality product. The only problem I have with some of these AAA titles going to all consoles, it kind of hits the shits. Unless like GTA, you know, and of course, you know, their major, you know, MLB The Show, different things like that. But that is where I kind of draw my line because I put trust in the people that made Legend of Dragoon, that made God of War, that
I'm not arguing those aren't great games. I'm not arguing that. But here's the thing. Power Rangers is a genre, as a whole, as a product, as an intellectual property. Pigeonholing into one thing, one area, alienates so many people. You're literally saying, hey, you want to play this amazing game? Guess what? Spend $800, get yourself a PlayStation 5 if you can find it. Good luck.
Actually, PlayStations are actually more readily available now, truth be told.
Yeah, they are.
The fact that also they've extended the life of the PS4 again, which I guarantee you
that's probably because of how many issues it had releasing PS5.
Well, it's the availability of the product, but they're already in development for the next gen for PS5, like slimming it down, obviously, because that's what PlayStation does. They slim things.
Yeah. I'm still saying, like, I'd be on board with Sony handling it would be if Sony will come out and say, this will be across PC, Switch, or Switch 2 when that comes out. But making it where it's going to be across all platforms, it's available for everybody to play. If Sony
Switch has 5 more years of life in it, man. That's the bottom line. They've been talking about that.
Switch has probably got maybe another 3 years before they come out with Switch 2.
5 was their mark plan there because the whole thing is they do not really have a big idea where to go next, because they just put out the OLED version of the Switch.
They're, yeah, it's just a more powerful version of the Switch.
All right, that's well, what hey, yo, Byron, you're already wound up. Can I fire you up some more?
Do you really want that?
Piss in his Cheerios. Piss in it.
Because you're hot, and you'll have episodes where you just won't say dick for like 30 minutes. Like, where the fuck are you? So, Harry Potter TV show, sir. Harry Potter TV show. I'm gonna repeat it one more time, like that one dude's name in a hood movie that we don't say his name five times. Harry Potter TV show, Byron Moss.
Why, Kyle, to comment on something for you too. He's fired up all the time when I have a conversation with him. He's just quiet on here.
Oh, he knows, and he gets me hot too. So right now, so it's my turn. So go on.
Fair. I'm very good at
TV show.
Oh God, let's dive into this. So if you've not heard, HBO is announced that they're doing a 10-year, 7-season Harry Potter remake.
I just don't.
Nobody asked for this. Nobody.
Kyle, say it. Cash grab it, Kyle. Say it.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is.
Cash grab Jones.
Oh my God! Like, here's the thing. You're reading this. Okay, who are you casting as Snape? Who are you casting as Hagrid? You had the perfect actors at the perfect time for those characters. Anybody you put in those positions is not going to match up. Alan Rickman, may he rest in peace. Like, he was the perfect Snape. And here's the thing. You have so many areas of Harry Potter lore that people want to see. We would love to see. Like, people have been clamoring for this for years. We want to see a young Snape where he goes from Voldemort's right-hand man to Dumbledore's inside man. Adam Driver as a young fucking Snape.
Makes he looks sense, like right him in real life.
Yes. Why would you not do that? That'd be amazing. Hell.
This is the Byron. This is their same people that are trying to get Daisy to come back to do another couple more movies in the extended Star Wars universe.
No. This is HBO. This is not Disney.
No, I'm just saying it's the same fucking thing. Things that we're not asking for, we're getting.
That's a whole other tangent you want to get into right now. Whole other tangent. But like another example, why not do a series on the Marauders and how they came together and how they created the Marauders map and all that, all the stuff they did. Hell, I'm trying to think of another one. The founding of Hogwarts. Like, hell, even a young Voldemort series, like how his upcoming and like how he became, went from Tom Riddle to Voldemort. There are so many things out there that we'd much rather see than a cash grab on a nostalgic thing that nobody wanted. Nobody asked for it.
No, it's the whole thing is,
this is gonna flop.
This is the whole thing. They've already told the story to the point where Harry's obviously it's been the future. We've already been to that point. Prequels is where they've been literally making their money at and where the story needs to go.
The Dumbledore Fantastic Beasts stuff has flopped since the first movie released.
No, I think that was just bad timing. I think they waited too long to turn around and release.
I don't know, but it's
because what? Well, they waited 3 years to do it, Byron. That was the only problem.
There's been issues with the whole thing, the whole Johnny Depp thing kind of threw stuff off, but no, it's there's Harry Potter is not that old of an IP that you need to redo it. Yes, the movies missed out on a lot of things, and yes, some of the movies were lackluster, but it came out at the perfect time, at the perfect storm. Again, it was lightning in a bottle. Why are you trying to recapture that? It's like literally going to say, hey, let's turn Lord of the Rings, all the original trilogy, Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, Return of the King, let's turn that into a TV show.
No.
Why not? It's just cash grab. You won't cash that lightning bottle. Those three movies were perfect. The only way that'd be even better is if we got a fucking Peter Jackson extended cut. That's the only way those movies get better. I want a fucking 12-hour... I'm getting a different side tangent now, but I would love a 12-hour marathon of uncut Lord of the Rings.
Can we talk about something on this? Why is it to seem like everybody thinks that nostalgia is the way to go for cash, because it is, because we're the target audience, but why does everything flop? Like, here's something that else that I could see that people our age would want. Give us a season 6 of Teen Titans.
I think that's ship sailing. Like, it's not like they're going to be able to do, it's not like if you took the Clone Wars TV show and gave it a final season to really close it out that it needed. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think you'll be able to really be able to do Teen Titans. I'm just saying, whatever.
Closest thing we got was Young Justice, because Young Justice has gotten several different, with HBO, has had a couple of seasons.
It's been good. It's been, Young Justice is great. They canceled it for fuck all, who knows? It's, I mean, no, we know why. Warner Brothers has simply restructured shit and simply went, how can we cut costs? Oh yeah, let's cut everything. Again, we've talked about that before. Fuck them for all, everything they've done so far on that, but that's besides the point. Like,
why does everything happen to be in one basket? That's the other question too. Why are all these IPs belong to one entity?
It's because the buck's the bottom line. It's how can we guarantee our money without being too adventurous?
Well, it's safety netting your industry. It's safety netting your business at that point.
And it's what most big companies are doing nowadays. They're safety netting. They're not willing to take risks because you don't. If they take a risk, the internet is probably the biggest issues, the greatest thing out there, but one of the biggest issues, because anytime you try to take something, do something innovative or whatnot, if it doesn't meet a certain mark, it gets torn apart. And a lot of movies nowadays get torn apart before they ever release.
There's just so much crap with that. I mean, we could be here all day talking about it. But
God, we could.
Now, Jared, to answer your question from something you brought up earlier, obviously we are the target generation because you're hitting that, you know, 90s nostalgia more than anything else. Why does it more often than not flop? I truly believe, and this goes back for me as far as doing the movie Street Fighter, is that you have people in charge that are not either fans of the product or were not when they were children and fully understand what this means and how it made them feel when they were younger, and have the ability to fully translate that to an audience that you are reaching out to towards.
Here's the other thing I'm saying. We've always technically been the target audience, because you got to think from our childhood, what they've been putting forth to us is like, oh, this generation, we want your money. Well, we want your parents' money at that point. Now that you're older, we want your money that you're earning. That's the bottom line.
Another thing is, a lot of Hollywood execs and whatnot, they have egos. They think they can do it better than anything else. They think they think in their mind, this is the best way to do it, and they don't pay the proper respects to
the source material.
Correct.
Can we say one thing about Netflix? At least Netflix, when it comes to different things, have been good about taking care of the product.
Look at the
cast. Not always. No. We won't say always.
I make a concession for the Castlevania series and it being and the animation style it took. Freaking love it. Great. This is gonna transition into something I want to talk about here in just a little bit.
The Rise of Berk TV the series, the seasons they did, that was phenomenal. Like, Netflix can do it great, but there are times they either shit the bed on it and like cancel it before it really has time to like fully flesh out, or they think they can do it better They alienate their product.
Here's the question. Give me an example of one that just absolutely shit the bed. Because I'm thinking about in my mind, right off the top of my head, one, Wednesday. Two, let's talk about the fact.
Hold on, sir. Wednesday shit the bed?
No, it didn't.
I'm saying let's talk about successful things that they've done. Wednesday.
Okay, never mind. You're going to catch some shit, son.
You guys need to put your fucking listening ears on. I'm saying you're saying things like I asked for one example.
I misheard it. I thought you said these are products that have shit, they have missed the mark or whatever.
These are products that have not missed the mark.
Okay.
Okay.
Wednesday was beautiful.
Wednesday is phenomenal. Let's talk about, here's one product that they adapted from, obviously, a book series. Let's talk about The Night Agent. That was a phenomenal first season.
I've not seen that one.
I haven't either.
You guys need to watch it. It's great. It's got there's a kid from, I can't remember, from Malcolm in the Middle. He was on there. No, it wasn't Malcolm in the Middle. Anyway, long story short, talks about corrupt government covering up conspiracy theories. And this guy that sits down at a desk and works with undercover ops or, you know, spies, they call the desk. He gives the operation directive, different things like that. You guys just have to watch it. It's a great 10 episode just season right now. It's greenlit for a second season.
Can we talk about real quickly how TV shows and series used to be about minimum 12 episodes, and now they're cutting it back to like 8 to 10.
Well, look at it like anime. I was almost very disappointed with Konosuba. I've been watching that. I'm on the third season.
Oh, God. That Konosuba is, oh, my God. That's a whole experience.
Damn useless goddess.
Yes! Aqua's useless!
You have a crusader that is a nympho. She's into punishment and kinks. It's beautiful.
Oh, and the mage who's can only do one. So she blows her.
She can only she can only use explosion magic, and then she's limp the rest of the day. She's like,
like most guys in bed.
It's beautiful. I enjoyed between the first season and him. It's like, oh yeah, you're going to jail. It's like, why? Why am I going to jail? Well, you sent this explosive device to this lord's house. I didn't know.
It is like anime that does not take itself seriously. It is campy. It is kooky. It's an experience.
It's great. It's not to the. If you want a more serious RPG based one, you watch Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon?
God, that is so good. I can't wait for the next season to come out.
I'm beyond stoked for that. Or Art of Freya is another great one.
Aphoretta.
Fine, you can correct me today. I'll accept it.
That's really good. I can't wait for the next season. It is going to be so good.
The Dragon is by far my favorite.
Oh my God.
Guys, now I gotta know, since we were talking about, we got on the tangent of movies, obviously, and before we move on, I'm just gonna let the listeners know that Jared is going this weekend. Is it tonight or tomorrow you're going to see?
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, tonight me and Layla's actually going. We're gonna have a daddy daughter day. We're gonna go tonight here at the local theater in town, and we're gonna scope it out. I mean, the fact that it's been a massive success already and it's getting extended runtime is beautiful.
I think I saw on Facebook today, it apparently broke another milestone.
Its current box office number is $734 million at $734.5 million at the time that we are recording, which makes it the highest grossing film of this year. I don't see it getting beaten.
Where it places with animated films over the years, it's nuts.
Can we also make the comment of how Jack Black's Peaches song is on the top 100 charts?
I want that nominated for best song at the Oscars.
It won't happen. You know why? Because critics are snobs.
Pause.
Dude, they could actually get there's two different awards they could get here. One, obviously, they can get an Emmy. Two,
Emmy, that's for TV.
Or not Emmy, god damn it. Grammy. What am I trying to think of? Grammy, you.
Won't happen because Grammy panel is completely biased. Continue.
I could see it happening. It's one of those things.
Get an Oscar for best song.
Won't happen because Oscars are even more snobbish than anything else. Continue.
My counterpoint to that, they let 3-6 Mafia win a damn Oscar.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you.
That's it right there. When you literally let the Hood in there and for Hustle and Flow with It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp, and when those dudes got on stage and they said, who in the hell let the gate open? Yeah, I think Jack Black's pretty tame by comparison.
I'm sorry. If it does have the chance to win, because we talked about Bruno won, and I think it won Oscar.
Can we talk about the fact of Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny?
Did they win an Oscar?
No, but that movie's awesome.
They didn't win an Oscar, but the fact that they almost got a Grammy that year? Let's talk about that.
Really? Here's the thing. Here's what has to go against it. It's a video game movie. Video game movies that don't do well. I mean, hell, even Sonic didn't win shit at the Oscars. Like, if it's not within a certain genre, it won't win.
I wouldn't have expected Sonic to win. It was just a really good, fun time.
Again, this is a fun time, but it doesn't mean it's going to win. Like, again, the Oscars and the Grammy panels are so snobbish about has to fit within this little box, this little fucking box, if it doesn't fit this in the box, it meets certain criteria, don't fucking matter if it's the top 100 for a year. It can be number one for a year. This is, if it fits this box, fuck off.
Here's my thing. And this is kind of the thing now with everybody's kind of thinking. If the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame can have Dolly Parton in it, if obviously the 3-6 Mafia can...
That's a whole...
But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame shouldn't be taken verbatim as rock and roll only. That covers music. It's just the title of it.
I'm just saying. Stranger things have happened.
Here's the thing. Awards, in my honest opinion, awards mean dick all.
They really do.
Awards mean dick all because it is purely on the panel's predetermined whatever they have up their ass. If it doesn't fit up their box, they don't care.
Except, like, I'm making a full concession for Everything Everywhere All at Once should have won everything last year. That movie was beautiful.
Again, and why it didn't win? Because it didn't fit within the box. I mean, hell, Avengers Endgame or should have won an Oscar or something.
First off, Top Gun Maverick should have won Best Picture. If it came out another year,
You know why it didn't win? Because it's probably because it's a movie promoting war. Again, did it fit within the box? If it doesn't matter how well a movie does in the box office or how popular it is, it has to fit within a certain criteria that they have already predetermined.
You know, a reward show that we used to watch back in the day that actually gave a damn and actually meant something? The MTV Movie Awards.
Okay, I agree with that.
But the MTV Movie Awards is more for the casual viewer.
No, used to have some weight to it, though. It doesn't. Well, last year's MTV
Oscars,
used to.
Well, this year's Oscars absolutely did. Like, I made a point to watch that, and shit, I ain't gonna lie, shit had me in tears when Short Round won the Oscar and he gave a speech and he said, "Mom, I just won an Oscar," and we do not accept on this show or anywhere in life any Brandon Fraser slander. Damn it. George of the Jungle won an Oscar.
Dude, was phenomenal.
Yes, Whale was beautiful.
That man's redemption is beautiful.
Just thinking about it gets me emotional.
Can we talk about the precursor stuff to building up back into movies? Can we talk about him in the Doom Patrol? Just how phenomenal in a miniseries he was?
You can, yeah, absolutely.
The man is talented as hell. Why he got blackballed is bullshit.
No, it was absolutely terrible. And he got bullied out of a line of work that he was obviously gifted.
One man was the gatekeeper for a lot of years, and he was the guy that was just shat on everybody.
Jeez, it's like Hollywood is an elitist cult.
And
we like cults.
But nonetheless.
I like burning cults.
And also, in Ki Wei Kwan.
You like burning horses?
I personally like to find these really stupid elitist cults, and I love watching them get massacred and torn apart. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Oh, Westboro Baptist Church was always my favorite to see get owned in public.
I'm just talking about in general.
Oh, naturally.
No, my favorite thing of any video game is to find these random cults and then just massacre them. It's so much fun to play in a red sprinkler.
I'll be honest, the original RE for the whole cult vibe, obviously it is a cult, was a blast to play through in the castle.
Los Illuminados, absolutely. I haven't played that in a while. I really haven't gamed much in a while, quite frankly, outside of playing some NHL 23 and MLB 23 The Show, which I played yesterday.
You know, the guys, the next game I'm excited for, and it's not even a big AAA title.
What?
WrestleQuest.
I think I've heard of that. I think I've heard about that.
It's a wrestling RPG.
You know, that sounds kind of fun, but that sounds definitely like a Japanese type of shit.
No, it's literally the characters look like they're action figures out of the toy box. You got like Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Macho Man Randy Savage. It's beautiful.
Honestly, the game I'm most looking forward to right now.
Holy crap.
When it hits Steam, Overboss.
That'll be fun.
You've told me about Overboss.
There is it sad when we're not okay. Obviously, I was excited for this year for Resident Evil 4, the remake, but I'm more excited by a non AAA title for the year.
But isn't that how it in some ways, isn't that refreshing as hell? It doesn't always have to be a big mainstream release.
You guys are gonna kind of hate my opinion, but I am not a fan of Breath of the Wild.
I'm indifferent, yeah. Dude. I didn't grow up like hardcore on Zelda like that. I know you're a Zelda fan. So
the only reason why I say that for is because obviously the new video for Tears of the Kingdom came out this week.
And what'd you think?
I just don't like it. I just don't like how they're doing the Zelda universe now.
You know, I'm sure it's all subjective. I don't have enough of an opinion to contribute to that discussion.
Byron agreed with me on this about having weapons that break, having to repair them, doing different things like that. You're making a game feel too much like a basic RPG, like a Skyrim or a Dragon Age, different things like that. You're making it too open world and too basic. If you're gonna have Zelda, keep that bitch linear. Keep me going on that story. I want to collect some Triforce and I want to fight some reincarnation again, and goddammit.
it's fitting that you mention Zelda, and we were obviously we're talking about video game movies, and we will do a review next week, Jared and myself, on the Super Mario Brothers movie. But what does this mean for the future of video game movies as a subgenre, now that with the success of Mario and the success of the two Sonic movies, and on a side note, Knuckles is getting his own series on Paramount Plus. I'm extremely excited about that.
Oh, me and Matt were freaking ecstatic when
I haven't even talked to Matt about that. Yeah, like not
bro. Fully. You sent it to Matt the other day, and he sent it to me, and I was like, bro, how come Kyle didn't send it to me? I was disappointed.
My apologies. My reflexes immediately go to Matt when it comes to Sonic, but I digress. What I'm getting at is,
I feel you there.
What does this mean for the future of this subgenre? Are these games finally going to be respected? I'm of the opinion that now we have a generation of filmmakers in place who grew up playing these games and they remember how it made them feel as children. And now they're able to translate their experiences to the screen for us because we played it. So do you believe a Zelda movie is feasible, or a Metroid movie would be feasible, or something off the cuff a little bit, like Beautiful Joe maybe? What do you think?
Well, I mean, they're already in talks about making a Legend of Zelda movie, and I mean, it's going to be Illumination. And the whole thing with that is I could see it happening. Pigeonhole Link into talking like one of the minions, keep it very, verbal, whatever, have him awaken in Hyrule. I would probably go, like we were talking about before the show started, I would definitely say shoot for more like Ocarina of Time. That was the gateway for a lot of things. If you go too far back, not very many people are going to get it, and it's not going to be too spectacular.
Exactly.
That story right there is more universally received than
I look at you making that choral, you making that statement ties perfectly into the Metal Gear Solid movie, which is still in development, but with a greenlit script. That game is taking the 1998 game Shadow Moses, because that is the most identifiable that anybody who's even heard the words Metal Gear can they remember. Oh, that was the game on PlayStation. I remember that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Instead of going with Sons of Liberty with the big shell and the plant, or the tanker, or doing Operation Snake Eater. Amazing as those stories are, it's not the one people recognize the most. It doesn't have that iconic imagery the way also
Ocarina of Time would. And here's the thing, a casual fan understands Ocarina of Time. The people that obviously grew up in the 90s, played Link to the Past or played the original ones, they'll get that. But it's a universal received story. You have, yeah, obviously kid travels through time. It's perfect. And then if you wanted to do something else, there's plenty of source material to go from there. You can either have it where the fall of the hero, or you have it where the hero of legend appears. Because you got to think, that is the gap in the timeline where everything just branches off and more stories develop. The precursor stuff is obviously Four Swords and Skyward Sword, but I just cannot see Skyward Sword being made a movie at that point in time. That could be a second movie. That could be a prequel. It could be like how they did The Rise of Gru, in my opinion. As a whole, with video games actually finding success in the movie world, we've seen it for a while in the animated universe and, you know, television series. You know, Byron, huge fan of The Witcher. You know, things like that. But it's really refreshing to see them actually make a name in Hollywood. I could definitely see a Metroid film being possible. I would probably go with the story from either the original, like, or, well, not even original. I would say either Super Metroid, or Fusion. Fusion would be a good story.
Yeah. Visually, I think that would be an absolute feast to look at, to see and sink into.
So here's the question for you. Do you do general cell shaded animation, or do you do CGI generated animation?
Oh man. The games lend themselves to both styles visually, quite honestly. I would like to see cell shaded. It's not used enough. I think that would be really, really neat. And also another question, who do you get to play Samus and, you know, things of that nature. But just from a, just from an aesthetic standpoint, I would like to see cel-shaded visuals.
You know who I could see being Samus?
Who's that?
Margot Robbie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She
I mean, fuck, if she can be Barbie, she can be goddamn Samus.
Let's yeah, no reason. Here. Oh, are you going to take Layla to see that, too?
She's already been asking me about it. I'm on the fence because at that point in time, I'm like, is it technically a kids movie? Or is it technically a kind of a tween movie, because you've got the underhanded jokes of, I remember watching a video of all the Kens getting into it on the beach about, it's like, I'm about to beat you off. And it's like, are we really talking about group masturbation here? Well, yeah, because like the whole thing, Ken gets on a fight on the beach with another Ken. He said, don't make me have a beach off with you. Don't make me beat you off. I'm like, and then everybody starts going into it.
Yeah. Mega pause there. No, I don't know. I don't know if that one would be completely appropriate, especially if, you know, children aren't going to pick up on the not so subtle adult humor there.
You know, what would be a good action adventure game. Obviously, we already. Well, let's talk about this. We didn't acknowledge Uncharted. That was a good movie.
Uncharted was fun. Uncharted was a fun one. I didn't really think that you could mess that formula up, to quite frankly. But
Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland, man.
But financially, none of these movies have been as successful as Super Mario Brothers movie. Obviously, you know, money's bigger.
They were due redemption, though.
It absolutely was. I'm also looking forward to Mortal Kombat 2, the movie. Greatly looking forward to that.
What do you think, man? Like, tell me, what are you thinking about with it? Because I could see a lot of different things come out that, you know, Devil May Cry would make a hell of an actual good action series.
It was a fun anime, so why not?
Exactly. I could see it doing like a three-part movie trilogy. I could see that. But I think it just depends. Like, Legend of Zelda in itself, it'd be so hard to do because it's... Where do you start? That's the biggest thing, is where do you start? Because the Legend of Zelda timeline is so fucking convoluted and confusing at times.
Chronologically confusing. Shout out to AVGN.
So, well, like... I think it depends on the game. Not everything can be done into a movie. I think certain ones can. A large percentage of them can't.
I'm starting to think that Zelda might be better animated.
Well, it would be an animated film. It would not be a live action or CGI generated.
Well, what I mean, like Netflix or something, because you have a nonverbal protagonist. Like
that's the biggest issue with Zelda, is with a nonverbal protagonist. It's how do people connect to the protagonist?
But here's the thing: give him the Minions treatment. Just give him a few action words. He doesn't have to do anything, and they acknowledge the
again.
Fact it's like again, being a mute hero.
Again, it's not something you can do. The closest I've seen a hero that speaks very few words and can get away with it is Goblin Slayer. That's the That's the closest I've seen to it, and even he still speaks in several parts, but he's very few words.
Let's talk about John Wick.
Okay, yeah, that's a complete outlier too. But just within the realm of video games, I think it could be done. It's just it's kind of tricky, is all. It's you know. Speaking of, are there any games that were made into movies that you want to see redemption for? I'm still waiting on Street Fighter.
Street Fighter obviously is on that list.
The honestly, animated Street Fighter 2 movie is badass.
Get redemption for the Blue Bomber?
Oh, Mega Man? Yes, please.
The TV series was lackluster. Obviously, the anime was better, but give me the Blue Bomber in his own movie. That would be phenomenal. I could see either Paramount getting behind it. That would be the person I would lie it with.
No, you're absolutely right, dude. I would rock with that so hard. Trying to think of something, and there's plenty of other ones out there, clearly, but like, I just still get so mad every time I think about Street Fighter the movie. I just get so mad that like JCVD had did not have enough respect for someone like Raul Julia to be at his best when Raul Julia was dying of cancer, and he over delivered in that movie as M. Bison. Meanwhile, dude was too busy taking money and snorting coke on set.
Can we get redemption for a Tekken movie? Can we do an animated?
I've never seen him, but I heard that like the live action Tekken was cheeks.
It wasn't bad. It's because it's a fighting movie with standalone. It is fine. It's because it has a damn name Tekken on it. It gets that. If you want to see good Tekken,
call it anything else.
It's like there's a lot of movies thing, like that.
You had the guy playing Heihachi. He was fucking the uncle or the grandpa in Johnny Tsunami. Don't do that to me.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Before you continue, you're telling me now the grandpa in Johnny Tsunami was Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat. Is that what I'm gathering?
Yes, and he was also fucking Heihachi Mishima and fucking Tekken.
I love that man. However, physically, it doesn't match.
The thing. If you want good Tekken, watch what was on Netflix. That is the best Tekken they've done.
You told me about that. I did watch it, and I got to say it rocked.
It looks like Tekken. It feels like Tekken. It is Tekken.
Also, House of the Dead. That was one of the worst video game movies I've ever seen.
Sega. Damn you.
What was another one that was really, really bad? Oh, good
God. Let's talk about Final Fantasy, Spirit Within. Give us a fucking real one outside of Advent Children.
You know, I got duped into thinking that might be good because, you know, they released that hot off the heels of Final Fantasy X and its success. That was the whole point. That was a cash grab, but it had nothing to do with anything.
Can we talk about the fact that the animated Resident Evil movies are better than the fucking original?
Oh, they absolutely are. I could stomach the original Resident Evil movie, but also I watch just about anything with Mila Jovovich in it, quite honestly.
Can we get redemption for a Silent Hill movie?
Never seen it.
It's not terrible, but there should have been a second one. It wasn't.
You know what
bad.
I think would honestly be fun as shit? Twisted Metal the movie. That would be fun.
I would enjoy that, Byron.
Hmm?
What would you say next besides that? Honestly,
I don't know.
Halo would be a hard one to do, but
Halo's got the series on Paramount Plus.
Leave it alone. Yeah. Leave it alone.
You've done enough with that. No, I think what this opens up to with this generation of filmmakers, those of us who grew up in the console wars, I want to see some 8 and 16 bit games be made into movies. Okay, first off, redo Double Dragon. Thank you very much. I want Chrono Trigger the movie. That's what the hell I want. I'm not even gonna hold you for that because I think that is a top three Super Nintendo game, and it's easily one of the 50 greatest video games ever made. That's what I want. Also, as a Sega guy, Comic Zone would be wonderful to look at for a film. You know. Like, there's so many other ones, but I really think that the success of Super Mario Brothers has opened up more possibilities to finally garner a corner of respect in Hollywood for video game films, where normally people, they would hear that or say, oh, that's based on a video game. They look at it the same way as wrestlers getting into acting back in the day. Now that
they still do that way to a degree.
To a degree, but it's gotten easier because of the success of going back to Roddy Piper. And then you have, you know, what Cena's done, what Rock's done, and Dave Bautista, and so on and so forth. It's getting better, but there still is that stink. And that stink still lingers a little bit with video games and crossing out, quote, out of their bounds, if you will. But I'm very, very happy, and as gamers, we should all be very proud of what Super Mario Brothers, the movie, has done for our little slice of life entering into Hollywood and just blowing the doors off of everyone's expectations. Guys, you got anything else for this week? Because there's so much more that we can get into. And if not, we can always Jerry, we're gonna get together next week and do the Mario review, and we have some other stuff we can address.
I mean, I do want to say I did get a chance to see the new D&D movie.
Oh yeah, you did talk about Dungeons and Dragons.
It's the movie we deserved back in the 80s.
I would agree with that.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say the cartoon series was not that bad. It was pretty bearable.
No. But like, it's a good watch. Is it the best movie in the world? No. Is it a fun movie to watch? Oh yeah, it's a great fun little movie to watch. It's got all the fun elements of like essentially how any traditional D&D table goes. It goes off the rails. Nobody really knows what's going on, and you get really ragtag adventurers thrown together to try to save the world. And it's got good nods to people who know the lore and have played it. And any newcomer comes in, they can sit down, they can enjoy it. It's a very fun, very fun movie.
Well, I'm glad you got to enjoy it. Sounds like a really nice popcorn that you can just plop on the couch and just chill and enjoy.
I'm kind of sad that I didn't get the D20 popcorn holder. They were selling the
Byron.
You know, they're sold out everywhere now, but you know how much they're going for online now?
How much?
$100 a pop.
What?
Yes. The D20 opens up, you put pop, they had popcorn in it. There you go. Sold out, and you can buy them online now for $100 a pop, if not more now.
That is
ridiculous.
It's awesome, but God, I'm sad I didn't get one to put on my shelf.
All right. And one last thing, guys, before we wrap things up, we did have a question submitted from one of our listeners. Shout out to Miss Rebecca and Joplin, who's a frequent listener, asked a question which I believe is gonna lead into our next full episode where we're gonna rank our top five Disney villains. And she asked, what is each of our favorite Disney villains and how did they relate to each of us? Me, it's kind of a tie, but I lean more towards Hades and Hercules because the man is loud and extra, and I don't know anybody who's like that at all. I don't know if you guys do either, but he just sits and he just relates to me in some kind of way. And he's sassy, kind of like a little caramel child I know that I might have made.
Fair enough.
So what about you guys? Who is your Disney villain?
I'd have to think on that. I'm off the top of my head, I can't think. I had to really think about that.
I mean, felonious like villainy for me. Like I would have to go probably with Rourke from Atlantis Lost Empire. One, the dude put on his best face to one convince Milo Thatch and also to convince the proprietor of all the equipment and everything else, and to find out later the dude's a fucking mercenary. And the whole thing was like, oh yeah, I came down here to, you know, rob their riches and to just, you know, you people can just die. Personally, the realism for me is what I relate to that. The fact that the guy's just like honest about being a piece of shit. It's fair.
I mean, say what you will about somebody like that, but at least they're honest with who they are.
Exactly, because at that point in time, you got to think, he really didn't deceive them. To a degree, he just was like, yeah, you know, I'll go on this quest. We can do this and that. And then obviously having the ragtag group of people that he recruited to go with him, you know, Vinny and everybody else and Audrey. And his untimely death, you know, that to me just stood out. You know, he became the thing that he was questing for. He became a crystallized monster.
And you know, and that's the case of turnabout is fair play. Well, we thank you for the question, ma'am, and always thank you for listening. And if anybody has any questions, feel free. Once again, if you follow us on Facebook, you can drop questions there. You can inbox me personally, and also follow us on Twitter and email at beardsbrewsandbros@gmail.com. And Jared, as I said, we will get together here in a few days after you and your lovely daughter Layla go and check out the Super Mario Brothers movie, which is in theaters right now, obviously. And coming up soon, we will be discussing several other wonderful topics, but we are doing a top five ranking of our favorite Disney villains coming up here in about, I say, 2 weeks, guys. Are we going to be able to get back a little bit more regular?
I would say 2 weeks would be fine in my book. Because I would say a Friday morning 2 weeks from now is fine in my book. I will be back onto a regular routine within both of y'all's schedule. Well, mostly Kyle's schedule. And at least for a good time.
Yeah, and we'll ride and roll with the changes. So be on the lookout for that in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, those listening, please feel free to let us know your favorites and your thoughts on anything that we rambled on about today, because we just shot from the hip and kept it 100, because that's what we do here on Triple B's. But we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. I hope you guys all have a safe, wonderful, fruitful weekend. You boys enjoy yourselves. And we will see you folks next time on Beards, Brews, and Bros. For myself, K-Rob, for Byron, for Jared, up in Moss River. Be kind and always rewind, and we will catch you the next time around.
See you next time, folks.